in our lives, because you want things to go according to our own plan. Even when we sing, "It's all about you." Wow. Praise God. One bishop asked me to bring the word today, so I prayed, and it just yesterday that the Lord gave me the word to bring. Amen. I'm challenged by this word. It's a very simple word, really simple. Amen. But I was shocked to realize that the church needs it today. All over the world, the church needs this word, which seems to be just dealing with the basics. Praise God. Well, I have the joy to be with my children today here, Deborah and Bessalil. And it's a pleasure as well to have Shushu and her kids with me today. We live in the same place. So she accepted my invitation to come along. Of course, she didn't know that I'm going to speak. She doesn't know as well that I'm a pastor. Because it's not about the title that we might give ourselves. It's the kind of life we live in. If our life cannot testify about our Christian identity, then we are doing our race in the wrong path. Yeah. So our life should speak louder than our word. Praise God. When Deborah was a small child, she started to stand up and try to walk. But she could only walk around the table, holding on the table. So you can imagine that at that age, she was not able to speak. The few words that was coming out of her mouth was, "Mom, Dad." That's all. One day, I was sitting with her mother. We were watching the television. She was playing there around the table with her toys. And suddenly, she opened her mouth, or God opened her mouth, and we heard Deborah saying in Lingala, which is one of the four national languages in Congo, "Ah, Nzambe, Mokile baby." Translated, "Ah, God, this world is destroyed." So I look in the face, her mother, she looked at me as saying, "Did you hear that? Or I'm dreaming?" It was loud and clear. Oh Lord, a small child does not know how to exclaim herself. She exclaims herself like a grown-up person, saying, "Ah Lord, this world is dying." Maybe today Bishop is going to help me to get the interpretation of that message. I don't know exactly what the Lord wanted to pass on to me as the message, or to me and her mother, her parent, as message. But time to time in my life, in my Christian walk, I hear that voice of that small Deborah coming back to me. Especially when I'm going through tough times. We all come across situations where you feel like, this is enough, I can't take it anymore. You feel like being crossed in regard to your God. Like He's not caring enough. Like He has forgotten you. But I can still hear that voice of that small child. Ah, Lord, this world is dying. At some extent, I'm seeing the time, prophetically, the time in which we are. We are in the last days, and I may say in the last hour. Don't expect things to become rosy in this time in the world. Satan, he knows that there is no way for him to have back what he lost. His position in God's presence, there is no way for him to get it back. And he knows, maybe better than you, that his time is at the end. So he's doing all he can to take as many people as he can. And the only way to do so is to bring suffering, pain, misery in the world. And he can do so by using human beings like me and you. Taking all sense of honor from people. All sense of respect from human beings. And bringing them down to the level of animals, even beneath animals. To make people to be cruel to one another without any feeling when pain is there. Even to rejoice when you see another person suffering. Like in French we say, l'enfer c'est les autres. Hell is others, not me. And according to the prophecy, we see that Satan influence has to touch even the church. That's why you see some Christians, the love for the Lord becoming cold. You meet Christians without any fire in them for the Lord. You know, when you fall in love with somebody, you feel like talking about the person, especially to your friend, to your family. You talk about the person because something is boiling in your heart. You are in love. And when you talk about the person to others, how much that person is special to you, precious to you, somehow, your influence is touching them and pushing them to view that person in the same light as you viewing the person. You all remember Maureen who came to preach here from workshop. That lady, when we met at Mattesi, she's one of the few people who impressed me. She was in love, madly in love with Jesus. And everybody that she came across was affected by her personal relationship with the Lord. The church, at some extent, is losing the first love. We can jump and clap and play the church. But today's message is that the Lord is looking not for a multitude of people, but for you and me. To make a difference and to bring the church to the place where she's ought to be. Amen. Our reading is in Ephesians chapter 4. Pardon me, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 8 to 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you to seal it in our heart and to cause it to affect our lives from today on, oh Lord. We even pray for the church as a whole, here in England, in Europe, Africa, and everywhere in the world. Cause this word, oh Lord, to transform your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We were once darkness. I love it in my Bible here. I don't know what is written in your Bible. I was expecting to read that we were once in darkness. But in this Bible, maybe in yours it's written, we were once in darkness. But here it's written, we were once darkness. Each and every one of us, the Lord took us somewhere before we became Christians. Some of us have been through stuff and situations that if we start talking about those stuff here, maybe people, we say, huh? Even you? None of us can stand at the front and say, I'm different. When the Lord Jesus met me, I was perfect. I don't think that there is anybody here. I was in a mess when the Lord found me. I was darkness when He met me. He called me. He said, Dharma, come and follow me. Though I was young, only 17 of age. But when I look back from my birth to the age of 17, the stuff that I went through, I cannot stand here and say, point to any one of you saying I was better than you. No. It's a beautiful thing when the Lord gives you the favor and appears to you like Bishop has gave the testimony here. For me, it happened when I decided to receive Jesus in my life. Invited by my friend's mother to a crusade, I was going there and enjoying music and dancing. After the crusade, I'll go home just the way I went there. And one evening, I decided to pay attention to the Word. And the Word took place in my life. I understood that my life was just darkness. I was in a total mess. I said to Him, Lord, forgive my sins and come in my life. Something happened when I made that decision. I fell, losing the strength in my knees and going down. I stretched my hand to hold the chair that was in front of me. When my hand touched that chair, my whole body lost the strength. I became like paralyzed. I found myself on the floor. The next thing, I was rolling down and all the demons were coming out. And after a while, I heard the voice of the preacher saying, peace be unto you. I stopped screaming. At that particular moment, I received a vision. And in that vision, I saw myself in a place where I can't really tell where exactly the place was, but I saw Jesus standing in front of me, not far from me, like where the keyboard is. But between me and Him, there were some bush? Grass of this level. Yeah. And I heard a voice telling me that you see this grass which is there, and there is no path for you to go toward Him. This grass represents your sins. I came to that understanding of how ugly sin is on the eyes of the Lord. hearing that voice telling me that I'm separated from my Lord because of my sins, I felt the love of my Lord coming toward me. Jesus did not say a word. Of course, I cannot also describe his face. He's not the face that we see in the movies. No. I saw just glory and love coming out of him. Hitting me right there in my face, in my heart, in my being. And I felt being unworthy to go toward him. I was, according to this verse, darkness. So I start saying, Lord, I'm not worthy to come to you. I'm not worthy. I turned and went back. Behind me was a big, dark, and deep hole. So I felt that my place is not toward Jesus, is where that deep hole is. To go just down there where darkness was plentiful, that the place where I deserve to go. Because I was darkness, and darkness deserved to be in darkness, not in the light and love. So I turned, going toward that dark, big, deep hole, saying, Lord, is not at all your fault. It's mine. You loved me. I can feel your love. But I deceived you because of my sins. Hallelujah. It's still alive like this day I saw it. But before reaching that deep, dark place, the vision went. And that's when I started to cry like a little baby. Because I understood, I got the revelation of how sin is ugly. How sin affects God. I don't know if it's here where I preached about this verse which says, what we sow, we shall reap it, and no one can fool God. The word which was there of fooling God, the Hebrew word is, in English, is the equivalent of turning up your nose to somebody. In my days when I was young than I am, if somebody do this to you, is like doing this to you. Excuse me for that, but I have to bring the illustration for us to understand. So the word that was used there, putting it in today's context, that no one can fool God, is the equivalent of no one can do this to God. Because when we live in a life of darkness, of corruption, consequences will follow. We can come to church and play church and full grace. She won't know unless God decides to reveal it to her. And we can leave this place as saint. But
wherever we are and whatever we're doing, either in light or in darkness, the Lord can see everything and He knows everything. Amen. Now, there is a link between this text with the previous chapter, chapter 4. From verse 25, the Bible says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that is may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but whom you were sealed, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Amen. The basics that we embrace, we learn when we come to the Lord Jesus. But at some stage, after a few years, we count ourselves to be professionals. And when we become professionals, we forget the basics. We have nothing to do with the basics because we dealt with them long ago. Now we are professionals. We can make bigger moves. And at that point, we lose our focus. It's not strange today to meet Christians who live in these things, lying. Even for some, for no reason, they lie. For no reason, a lie pop out, pia, it goes out. And then you may wonder, that lie, truly, what was the use of it? No one could harm you if you said the truth. And there is nothing you gain into say that lie. When we were darkness, it was normal for us to live in this kind of things, in lying, in stealing, and all those stuff. But now, as we are in Christ Jesus, the sons and daughters of the light, we are ought to walk in the light. And if these works of darkness are manifested in us, so we have to put a big question mark there, asking ourselves if really we are sons of light, if we are walking in the light. We can be sure that Jesus is walking with us only when we're walking in the light. But when we choose to walk in darkness, we leave him where light is. And he waits for us to come back to that light. So, please pay attention here. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Members of one another. Me and Philip, we are members of the same body. But pay attention to this. Even Christians, sometimes we lie to ourselves. Before I decide to lie to Philip, I lie to myself when I'm in God's presence. There is a survey that was done in America, and it was a shock to discover that in that survey, there are many ministers who are hooked in this day and age into internet pornography. But when they go to church, they play church. They are saints. They are children or sons of light. They show to you that, yes, I'm in the light. Grace, don't bother about me. I'm a saint. I'm in the light. But turning my back, it's another story. But God sees everything. He sees everything. No wonder why the church is weak today. It's true we're trying, we're doing something, but we were meant to do more than what we're doing. Now imagine in that survey in America, if ministers are caught into internet pornography, what will be the case now of members? Hello? If I find myself in that position and I come to church, I play church, then worshiping God in truth and reality, I'm not lying to Philip, I'm lying to myself. So when I'm going to decide to lie to Philip, it's going to be even worse than that, because I have lied to my own conscience. I have lied to myself. And the Bible continued that, be angry, but don't let the sun fall on anger. I'm going to cut it short for you to have the privilege to meditate on these things, point by point, each one of these points. My cry today is to the church as a whole. What we are representing to the world is not what our Lord is expecting us to represent. Hypocrisy is too much. We heard the report where Bishop went to the conference. Christ, in everything that he was doing, It was out of compassion. Even when he was healing people or feeding the multitude, it wasn't a parade that he was doing, a show. In them days, there was no television. I don't even think if today Jesus was here in the flesh, of course he is in me and you, but if he appears here and starts healing people, he won't call BBC to come and cover everything. All those miracles. And even inside people, Grace, can you testify what happened to you? How the Lord has touched you, healed you, this and that? No. Because he was doing everything out of compassion. Out of compassion. Where is compassion in believers today? I'm not trying to knock down television, Christian channels, TBN and stuff. It's a good tool to reach out to millions of people at once. But some of our brethren are abusing that tool. It's no longer about him, it's about us. To be counted among great men and women. But real compassion is no longer there. So we are not walking in that case in the light, is in darkness. Through this message, I want you to open your eyes, to look around what we are doing. I know. You're not into those parades. You're not doing those stuff. But remember, as the Bible says here, we are members one another. We are in the same body. When my behavior is affected, Grace, you must, is an obligation. You must be concerned because I'm member. Sharing the same body as you. My bad reputation is affecting you. It's slowing you down in the world. It's not helping you to do what you are ought to do smoothly. So you must be concerned and take it in consideration. Pray for me. Ask God's favor to fall afresh on me. God's power to fall afresh on me, to transform me. Lastly, I'm going to mention something here. I have observed today many Christians, they don't want to do what the Lord wants them to do. But they are choosing to do what themselves want to do. Are you with me? You can invite members. Grace, you invite members. Let's meet together. Let's do this. And one says that, no, I won't come. I feel the Spirit leading me to go to the hospital. Though I count myself member of this church, the time you want me in this church, for us to study the Bible, I decide to use that time to go to the hospital. Lack of discipline. That's how you see Christians can change churches as they want. Today I feel cool to be here. Tomorrow I feel good to be at the corner there. And after tomorrow, elsewhere. There is no accountability. And that is weakening the church, is destroying churches. And it's sadly to pin it down that I've been involved in some churches that I visited, and I saw that spirit deeply working in them. Even simple issues, when you talk to them about the baptism, they choose not to be baptized. They refuse. That kind of behavior shows that we are not in reality member of one another. There is no unity. And when we walk in a life where there is no unity, then we are not walking in the light. No, we are not walking in the light. Visit churches and see how members of the same church are stabbing in the back one another. Well, for instance, a member of the Moby Baptist Church for some years now. It's true that the issue of Israel is going on in the church. Is it the only issue that today is about to shut down the church? No. In our church there, each one is doing whatever he wants. When you feel like coming to the prayer meeting, you come. When you feel like attending the Bible study, you come. No one, especially that there is no a pastor there, no one can tell somebody else to do something. So, just to open your mind, when you pray for the church over there, to know how to focus your prayer. Don't limit it on the Jewish issue. No, that is just something minor compared to the total indiscipline, lack of commitment that is going on. And that is a typical just case of the same spirit that is ruining many churches today. No one wants to be told what to do. Check this out. The Lord Jesus, when he saved us, he set us free. But you would agree with me that this freedom is not the kind of freedom today Christians we are thinking that it is. Doing what I want. That's what we're doing. Doing the things that please us. Selecting in the word what we can do and what we cannot do. And we apply our emotions to accept things in that light, our own light, the way we want them to be. And after that, we say that he called us for freedom. Taking the case of the other side, in discipline, in the church, lack of harmony, that is not freedom at all. It's a spirit of rebellion. And we can cover it with spiritual word. That I feel the Lord is telling me to do this. So you are a member of one body. How many lords do you have? The one who says to grace this, he's saying to you just the opposite, and to the other the opposite. No. There must be harmony. There must be harmony. Our freedom is misinterpreted. We are not accountable even to our own conductors, to our own pastors. My pastor can think whatever he wants or she wants. But I know the way I'm walking with the Lord, I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. Come on, church. Come on. Many churches are suffering of that. Hierarchy started in heaven. And if the church we represent in what is going to happen in heaven, or what is going on in heaven, we have to obey the authorities that the Lord has given us in our family churches. And do things accordingly to what is written in the Bible. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help the church. When I was a young Christian, I was impressed by big congregations. But now, I came to the place where I feel very comfortable in small churches than big churches. Because the percentage in small churches of meeting Jesus is there. People are trying to live what we just read here, being sincere, honest to one another. Because you are not a crowd, you are not many. You can know one another. How long Bill can live in hypocrisy toward me? Or how long can I live in hypocrisy with him? We are not many. We are meeting. He's learning me, I'm learning him. We are exchanging in our fellowship. So before even I know it, he's going to know who I am. And we can live in honesty, in harmony. And that's what the Lord is waiting for. When he looks at the church, he's not impressed by the music, the style of music that we can perform. No. He's looking for those who can worship him in spirit and truth. And all starts with those basics. Those basics. My prayer today is that the Lord help the church. I was driving in London one day, many few years ago. One
I think a Jamaican guy, he was driving like a crazy person. He nearly made me to get involved in an accident and stuff. So my temper went up and said, "What's wrong with you? Are you crazy?" And he proved to me that he was crazy. He stopped the car because we reached the light. He stopped the car. He jumped out of his car. He was tall, big, with muscles. He came straight to me. "What did you say?" Fortunately for me, the green gave. I was shaking in that car. Because that guy just one of his could knock me down. And when I got home, I started reviewing my Christianity. And I asked myself, have I represented Christ in that incident? Was I walking in the light, but reacting in that manner? So I decided, when somebody does a stupidity in the road when I'm driving, to laugh. It sounds crazy, but that's the method I'm using, and it's helping me. When I see stupidity, instead of getting mad and angry at the person, I just laugh. It released the pressure of anger that was about to take place and spoil the rest of my day. And it helps me. I don't know which method I'm using, because we all come across crazy drivers. May God help us. This is the time when true Christians have to come out of the shadow. Christian and holy in church, Christian and holy in our families, Christian and holy for those who go to work at workplaces, Christian and holy at school, those who go to school, Christian and holy in the supermarket, Christian and holy everywhere. The basics. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Just simple. But sometimes we find ourselves lying to ourselves, oh Lord. Even stealing but refusing to pay the bills that we are owed to pay. Stealing but choosing not to pay our tithes. Getting angry and decide to sleep without sorting the issue and just choosing to get rid of our angerness. Father, these things that seems to be the basics, time to time we're missing them, oh Lord. We're falling short in one way or another. And today we come back to you asking you to forgive us, O Lord, and to renew that first love in our lives. We want to be as much Christians in the street as we are in the church, O Lord. The same holiness that we're showing in the presence of our pastor, we want to show the same holiness everywhere we go.
far away from the pastor. We pray for all Christians around the world, Father. The spirit of rebellion and lack of discipline, Father, is moving in the church, returning Christians in darkness without them realizing that there were once darkness and now they're returning into darkness. Cupidity, oh Lord, is ruining even us ministers. Lack of compassion and love is destroying lives of our body, the body of Christ. We cry out to you today, Lord, and ask you to help us. Our brothers and sisters, everywhere they are, help them, oh Jesus. And today, as a church, Lord, we pray for Moulby Baptist Church. We ask you to visit Moulby once again, oh Lord, to help members over there to become member of one another, to receive true love and harmony between them, O Jesus. Father, we thank you. We also pray for the funeral of Tuesday, Father. Let everything be done in your peace. Comfort souls that are still weeping and mourning, O Lord. Bring peace and joy. We give you glory for everything. Let your word transform our lives forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.